The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 456. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, this episode is going to highlight the annual event that the WWE puts on every November, that being the Survivor Series. Now, I know many of you who have listened to the PVD Cast for many, many years know that when it comes to the big four WWE PLEs, as they're called now, usually I sit down with the pro wrestling pundits, Ringside Rant and DJ Joey Blaze, and we give a preview to what we think is going to happen at the show, and then we do the following week a recap or a review of the event. Well, as I've mentioned many times before on the show, that I have a lot of episodes to get to. I have many that have been waiting to see the light of day. So with that being said, Rand and Joey and I are going to talk about the PLE from this past weekend, giving you the recap of what went on and our thoughts on the matches and everything else related to the Survivor Series. So we're going to get to that in just one moment, but before we do, I need to thank a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got graphic novels, toys, single issues, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They will definitely body slam the competition when it comes to what all they have in their store. If you're in Central Ohio, you can check them out in person. Just stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and I analyze the Survivor Series. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sitting down this evening with the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze, how are you?
It's been a while.
It has.
What was the last time we all gathered together to mingle about wrestling?
I believe SummerSlam.
That's crazy, which I went to.
Yeah.
And we didn't do a preview for this,
but
we have several things to say about it, I'm sure. So this will be fun. And lots of in between. So.
Okay.
I love you, John Orlando.
We are here in the Temple of Orlando.
That's right.
There you go. And that, of course, is the voice of Ringside Rand. Rand, how are you?
I underappreciate in many ways.
Oh, now we appreciate you here.
We're all here.
DVD-KS.
Here.
So I found out something today. I was looking at a map before I came over here. I wanted to figure out where the Golden Ghetto was.
Okay.
And I noticed that it is located on the Island of Relevancy.
Really?
Did you know that?
No, I did not. Is it like Monaco? Is it one of those city states within a country? Is it like
kind
the Vatican?
Of like the Vatican, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Golden Ghetto is within the
Sparta, Athens.
Sparta, Athens, the Golden Ghetto.
Yep.
Yep. It all checks out.
And for you mouth breathers, that's Upper Arlington, Ohio.
Okay. Yeah. If you're listening out of state, as many people are, you know, very, very popular in Canada, by the way. Just throwing it out there. Recent stats have said that.
Oh, nice.
I'm
nice.
Excited.
Bonjour.
That's the eastern part of the nation. Oh, you know, okay. But that's okay. I mean, they
I like Tim French, Hortons.
So there you go.
There we go, yeah.
There you go. Anyways.
Dunk them if you got them.
So we're talking about the Survivor Series, and ladies and gentlemen, let's just lay it out here what's going to be happening over these next, 45 minutes to an hour. We're going to be discussing the matches for Survivor Series from the PLE this past weekend. We will be rating them on a body slam system. 5 body slams for a great match, all the way down to 1 body slam because, well, it's the drizzling shits. We'll also talk a little bit about where some of these individuals, some of these WWE stars are going to be going or heading in terms of storylines. And we saw quite a bit of interesting stuff on Monday Night Raw last night as we are recording on Tuesday.
It started to unravel, if you will.
Yes. So let's start off with an overall rating for the entire PLE. Out of 5 body slams, let's start with you, Ringside Rand. How many body slams for the overall PLE experience?
I'm going to give it a 4 because I didn't think there were any low points.
Okay.
Nothing over the top, huge, incredible, but a lot of good.
Okay. DJ Joy Blaze?
So I gave it 4 body slams and a collar and elbow tie-up. So right ooh, just above 4 body slams.
Ooh.
Okay. Basically for the same reason. Like so many pay-per-views in wrestling, especially that we've watched recently, have had its peaks and valleys and ups and downs. And like, there was everything was, I felt that all the matches were interesting. I felt that the product that they plugged, that little commercial promo they filmed, was pretty funny.
True classic TV shirts.
I'm very, very excited for the Netflix era. That's where I gave it. I'm just a little peg above 4 body slams there. Not to be pegged, but peg above.
So yeah, gotcha.
Right.
I said overall 4 body slams because, again, I agree with you as well, Rand. There wasn't a match that was just totally awful. They were all, in my opinion, really well done matches. I thought that their hype video with the WWE stars, you know, like they do nowadays at big pay-per-views, with them arriving like it's an NFL football team arriving or an NHL team walking there.
Speaking of NFL, that was one of my favorite parts. Before the
intro to the men's.
The intro to the men's with the football.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Uso, NYU, no yeet university. Like that had me rolling that whole setup for that.
That was pretty good.
Big Bronson Reed, Tsunami University.
My only gripe is this, though. I will say this is, and not that this is reflective in my score overall of the event. I would like to have had just 1 5-on-5 classic match.
I think we all would love to see that. And I think you could have had, they could have had one and they set it up. What happened to the Karrion Kross and his group against the Wyatt Six?
I don't know. That's a upcoming. Good question.
I saw the commercial for it.
But
they might be on Raw next week.
Okay. But that would have been a cool traditional 5-on-5, like you were saying. And you could have got the women involved. And it was already set up. Like, you didn't have to put something together, just throw it together, because you already have that going.
Or more of the Judgment Day, because you had Dom, Carlito, and JD not doing it, and Finn not doing anything. You find a fifth member, you know, you throw them in there, and there you go. I mean, you know, so I think that's a give me.
It's really strange how Carlito joined that group.
Oh, yeah. That made no sense whatsoever. And still, let's be honest, he's the Buddy Roberts of the team. He takes the falls. That's what he does.
And he provides some extra comedic relief.
Yeah, that's it. So, but let's jump on into it. Let's talk about the women's war games. I will say this before I get ratings from you guys. I feel like this war games match was a little more thrown together than the men's. I think the men's, looking at it on paper, the men's teams looked a little more solid than just the women's.
Well, by nature, we know that we have 2 bloodlines established, and it'll be a question of who becomes
the tribal chief.
Yes.
So it's tough to have without, you know, you have a group like the like Damage Control, but you don't have large women groups. So it's tough to have that natural bloodline versus bloodline. So when you put different people in there, it kind of, like the whole Bayley being on the same team as Io, like that didn't make sense, right?
No.
Because they just had that thing where the Damage Control, now Why is she a babyface being EO? Like, so there were some plot holes, very like we were talking about earlier, maybe AEW-esque.
No,
but I mean, but they made it work, and they that match. And for somebody that's watched, you know, a few of these women's War Games matches, especially when they did it in NXT, mm-hmm. You got to have somebody the talent of EO in there because she is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, she is the genius of the sky, right? So
that was insane, incredible move
with the trash can.
Oh yeah,
she did that before in NXT, so that's why
I don't care how much padding or bracing you put in a trash can,
and especially I don't think there is any.
I don't think so.
Especially when you can't see.
Mm-hmm. She even said that in the after. She kind of talked about not being able to. Oh, no, see, like.
Oh, was, in the press conference?
In the press conference, okay. Yeah, she kind of talked about it. So, yeah, just to go, I think that's why it felt more kind of thrown together, because there wasn't cohesiveness on why the team should be together. But I still gave it 4 body slams.
Well, I like the physicality of it. I thought it was good. I thought that, unfortunately, Nia Jax is still not any good. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. She's just not. Those were sloppy chair shots. She botched multiple moves. I'm sorry.
I loved the Tiff spot. I know you guys might even touch on
it. Oh, yeah.
She's like,
yeah.
Where do I go? Do I go here? Do I go here? What do I do? What do I do? And she didn't do anything. So I love that buildup because, I mean, obviously, Tiffany's going to be a star. She has the it. She has, even though she's a heel, she has the crowd.
I was just going to say, I bet we're not too far removed from a Tiffy time switching babyface because the fans were so behind her.
And I would really like to see her kick off a big feud with Charlotte Flair.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be amazing. So that's one of my takeaways, too, like with Tiffany. I was hoping for a payoff on the Jade Cargill injury angle from that match.
Yeah.
But like I said, overall, I gave it 4 body slams. Just because of the, like you said, brutality. Like female brutality. Like they just let them do their thing and they did the same thing the dudes would do.
And the off the
maybe second. Maybe even did some of it better.
Right, yeah. I was going to say like the off the second rope finish. The finish to that. Off the second rope with the riptide through the table. That was really inventive. It was innovative. And props to both of them, Rhea and Liv, for doing it. I mean, Rand?
I think as much fun as it was, we pretty much knew it was going to come down to Rhea and Liv somehow.
Right.
But that's fine. I mean, that's what we want. We want to see how this turns out. I thought it was interesting that Bianca Belair suddenly has 2 ponytails.
Yeah, I noticed that too. 2 braids.
Yes, there you go. It's able to do that with extensions. There it is.
The question remains is, and I guess we got a little bit of the answer last night on Raw, is what do we do now with Liv and the title and Rhea? Or is Rhea now going to reclaim that title? I guess we're looking at this feud's not over from what happened last night on Raw.
Right, and one of the things, too, is she even said during that press conference that she'll take a back seat since EO's the number one contender and then go from there.
Okay.
So.
I gave it 3 body slams, and like I said, for me, I thought it was really good. It could have been better, but overall, it was good.
The only negative I see to War Games is one team always has the advantage. The other team never has an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
If they go 1-1, and then the second person comes in on one team, should the next team have 2 people so that they have a few minutes of an advantage?
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. I think we've said it before on the PVD cast. Not a huge fan of the War Games match, really. Even in Crockett, it was okay.
I loved it in Crockett. I loved my favorite spot in War Games was Sid taking Brian Pillman and pressing him up against the top of the cage. Yes. I thought that was the coolest thing
ever. The cage
had
a lid on it, a top on it.
That's what made that neat. And the fact that it is Dusty Rhodes' baby.
Mm.
That's why War Games is still cool to me. Now, overall, but it's cool when they can do it for a big show.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't overdo it.
Right.
It's once a year.
Mm-hmm. I've just not been, like, I'd much rather watch the Royal Rumble. You know, like, I'd rather watch that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just for me, the War Games is kind of, I don't hate it, but it's not something that, you know, gets me all ready to go, man.
to me, the big spark behind the Royal Rumble is you don't know what's coming next.
Right.
Or
exactly.
Who's coming next. The combination of permutations, I'm sorry, various chances of who's coming in next. I just thought I'd talk down to the people of Eastern Ohio.
Well, when you said you don't know who's coming next, I was like, are you watching an orgy or are you watching a Royal Rumble?
Oh, hey now.
Uh-oh. That might be a Netflix possibility.
Well, that is something that many people have asked about. How far are they going to push the envelope on Netflix? I don't see them pushing it real far.
I don't see it going.
I don't either.
I just wonder about TV and commercial breaks.
Well, that's true. How they're going to handle that.
Well, we'll get that figured out here. I'm sure we'll see that soon enough. So you said four?
Four?
You gave it four, and three.
Three?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, next up. Of course, Nakamura versus L.A. Knight. Man, this was such good storytelling. I really like this match. This is my favorite match of the night.
Oh, it was a great match. Yeah. What happened should happen. That was It was perfect booking. Some people were like, man, I don't know. But you don't bring Shinsuke back and just to have him lose. So, and the booking was perfect. The match told a great story. But it's almost like LA Knight was pissed that he was going to lose because he just didn't have, he wasn't his normal self when he came to the ring where he's talking trash and pointing. It was just, he was mad and just stomping the ring. He dropped the belt getting into the ring. So I don't know if that was more him being real or part of the storyline.
I took it as it was more of the storyline to make him more nervous to take on, you know, because they talked about how he has that confidence and it wasn't there that night. And I think that if it was for real, the commentary team did a great job of making you believe that it was real. If it wasn't real, what I should have said originally, then Cole and Graves made it seem like it was a real deal.
But I think a lot of that nervousness was because Shinsuke's been gone so long and came back so different that he didn't know what he was getting into.
Good point.
And by the way, I love foreign heels who don't speak English. That really makes you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And he's done that before in the past, you know, with those vignettes. I forget who he was feuding with at the time. Was it
Cody?
It was Cody. Yeah. I really like this. I felt the finish was a little bit flat, but other than that, I give it 4.5 body slams. I really liked it.
I went 4. Again, there's a lot of really good stuff. Nothing bad. A lot of really solid stuff. 4.
I'm at a solid 4 on it too. I enjoyed the match. There wasn't any. Any, like I said, anything that was just kind of, okay, let's go take a bathroom break. This is your headlock. It's kind of lull. Everything was really good. Actually, LA Knight impressed me more with this match, if that makes any sense. Like, I've been a fan, but, like, I feel like there were some things that he was doing that he doesn't normally do. Regardless, coming back, it makes sense, him winning the title, beating LA Knight. LA Knight's better at chasing anyways, being the babyface he is, so he's better chasing. And I really liked it. I think this could set up a really great feud with Shinsuke and Andrade.
Oh. Yeah, because Andrade's still in the mix for that US title.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that could set up something there, and I think we could see some really great matches from that and some fun storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he came back for a reason. I'm sure he was promised some stuff, so not just the speed championship.
Oh, I thought you meant AEW. I was going to say, yeah, he was probably offered Jaguars tickets
in
his contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, very lucrative.
I kind of wonder if, in one of the articles I read afterwards, if Shinsuke is somehow trying to get Japanese audience involved.
Oh, I think that he certainly would be, for lack of a better term, the poster child for that. Absolutely. And, I mean, they are working with Marigold, which is the new women's Joshi promotion over in Japan. It's run by Rossi Ogawa. And I think Julia has a stake in that as well. I think she's part owner, if you will. So, I mean, yeah, I mean.
If you will.
If you. So I could see that. Sure, Rand. I definitely could see that they need a Japanese superstar on the men's side of things to, because who else would they have?
And they have plenty of them on the women's. Like you can see, you got Io as the number one contender. Kairi's there, and Asuka should be back from injury soon anyways. She'll probably be back for the Rumble, I would assume.
Right.
So maybe even one of my early predictions to win the Rumble would be Asuka.
Right. So, but who's the man on the men's side? You got Shinsuke and you got Akira Nozawa.
Well, you're just overlooking Kurosawa.
Who?
Akira Tozawa.
Akira Tozawa?
The guy that's with, he was in the commercial.
Yeah, Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, you're overlooking him. I can't even think of his name. That's over.
That's how over he is. Rand can't remember his name. Well, look, again, great match. Great match. I mean, it might even make it into my list of matches of the year. Like, that's how good it was.
It was just great. A guy from Japan, not, quote-unquote, not speaking English, winning the U.S. title. So, that should make for some good TV.
Well, maybe he's like Tajiri, just bullshit you. Like, you... Stories are that many people thought, a lot of people that weren't real close with Tajiri didn't know he spoke fluent English because he worked him the whole time.
Or what they could do is do him like Kai and Tai and do voiceover dubbing for him.
Subtitles.
I actually thought about what would be a cool Kai and Tai reboot is if, what's the referee of this match was Danny Tran, I believe.
Okay.
Like if he was a Danny Davis and he screwed, you know, he screwed LA Knight out of the title. Then he's the manager of Shinsuke. We can add a couple of other guys. Like, I think it would be great.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. So,
but no choppy, choppy pee-pee.
No. I mean, I'm sure Takamika Inoshu, he's still working. You can bring him back for Kai and Tai.
Possibly.
I think, do you know how old he is?
And then Jimmy Wang Yang owns a party bus down in Cincinnati.
Yes, he does. Do you know how old Takamika Inoshu is? 52.
Wow.
Yeah, I read that online the other day, like last week, and I'm like, holy Toledo. All right, let's move on to our next match, which, again, a very interesting matchup. It's the three-way dance for the Intercontinental Championship, Ron Breakker versus Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser. Side note, why does Braun's music sound like everyone else? Like, this is the thing that is bothering me about WWE. Everybody's theme music sounds the same. Like, Rhea's sounds like Braun Breakers. Braun Breakers sounds like Karrion Kross's crew. I mean, there's no... I know what you're going to say,
Braun has
Rand.
The siren and the dogs barking, though.
Rand, I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
You're exactly right. One of the best aspects of WWE over the years has been entrance music, and he's not there anymore.
That's right. Jim
he
Johnson,
wrote
not there.
Hundreds of great songs. You know instantly what type of person's coming out. It's musical onomatopoeia.
You know what? I almost voted for him in a little makeshift mock-up of the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. He was listed as one of the non-wrestling personalities. I almost voted for Jim Johnston.
He did a lot.
I know he did. I mean, look, he's the one that created the Ultimate Warriors theme.
Unstable.
Yes, the Legion of Dooms theme, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ravishing Rick Rude, Coco B. Well, I don't know, Coco Beware may not have been one.
Bird.
Well, I was thinking, Pile Driver!
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Does Hogan own the rights to Real American, by the way?
I don't believe so.
No. I think it's Rick Derringer, doesn't it?
Rick Derringer wrote that, yes.
Right. I remember, I saw him at Columbus Commons, Rick Derringer.
Can you play it?
Oh yeah, he played right when I got there. I just got in and sat down my lawn chairs with the ex-girlfriend, and he was like, "This song is about patriotism, blah 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 blah." And I'm like, "Awesome!" And he played it. The guy in front of me, who was with his significant other, turned around and told me, "Don't pay any attention. I'm gonna leg drop my wife." And I said, "All right, just make sure you rip your T-shirt off." And he goes, "Yeah, brother."
Interestingly enough, that wasn't Hogan's song at first.
No, it was Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda. Because if you have the wrestling album, they have the little inserts with Jesse the Body and Mean Gene talking, and they talk about it's for, yeah.
And his song was Eye of the Tiger.
Right, which they didn't want to probably license, give money to Survivor. Anyways, Survivor should sue since they took their name for this pay-per-view. Anyways, let's get back on track to the... Joey looks like I just shot him with a gun the way he reacted to that bad dad joke.
I want to say this. Ludwig Kaiser may never win a title, but he's great.
Oh,
he puts people over. He's a great heel. He takes great bumps.
And he's banging Tiffany Stratton.
Points for him.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, he is so smug and arrogant. Like,
he is so good at his role.
Yes, I know. I agree wholeheartedly. He is fantastic.
So, and like, what going into this, I was like, why is he in this? After, I was like, that's why he was in this.
Yeah.
And he's great when he's with Gunther.
Yeah. He checks all the boxes. In fact, I don't even care if they ever get another third member for Imperium. That's how much I like Gunther and Kaiser. They're just fantastic.
Do they need a Buddy Rogers?
I don't know. I don't know. How is that whole remake new character that Johnny Vincent or whatever his name is?
Giovanni Vinci?
Yeah, Giovanni Vinci.
I don't How's know where going? They're going with it. They're supposed to have plans for it.
So. Anyways. Man, what about Braun's flying shoulder block on the floor? It was like he was a goddamn bullet, like being fired out of a gun.
First of all, Braun is probably top three most athletic WWE wrestler I've ever seen. And he's clearly the future. Like, mm-hmm. you put the jetpack on him and shoot him to the moon. And here's my thing. Everybody's talking about Gunther versus Goldberg. I think Braun needs to retire Goldberg, A, because Goldberg has had a huge influence on his career and helped train him. And B, that would be some meat slapping, hard hitting action.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather see that than Gunther.
It might only be 6 minutes.
That's okay if it's a good 6 minutes. That's all that matters. I'm all for that. We don't need every match doesn't have to be 20 minutes, Tony Khan. Anyways.
And then I was like, Sheamus, but Sheamus was good for this match too.
Yes.
How did he go from being chubby? Remember he first came back, he looked sort of chubby, then he's back to his normal size.
Banger. Burger.
And he can still do banger after banger. And then all the welts he had on his body after the match from the Shillelagh. That was an awesome match.
Yeah, I like this match. I thought it had great psychology, especially for being a three-way dance or a triple threat. I thought they worked it very well.
And the "This is awesome" chant was going on several times during the match, too. The crowd was all into that. For a normal, you know, Canadian crowds aren't usually too crazy in the Vancouver area from what I've seen and what I watched the other night. But, man, they love that match.
Yeah, Vancouver only riots when they lose the Stanley Cup. Anyways, okay. 2011, folks. Look it up on the internet. Anyways, how many body slams do you give it?
This is the one that kind of set me over because I gave it 4.25 just because I wasn't expecting this good of a match.
Well, I gave it 4 body slams because likewise, I was not expecting this good of a match at all. And it surprised me. It absolutely surprised me how good it was. It had everything that you could have wanted. Athleticism, brutality. I know we've used that term before. Just some awesome action. Yeah, 4 stars for me.
I usually don't like 3-way wrestling matches because to do it effectively, somebody's got to be inactive at all times.
Right.
There wasn't a whole lot of that here.
No, they timed it perfectly.
All 3 of these guys pretty much worked evenly.
Mm-hmm.
I gave a 4 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked the finish.
Now, the question is, where do we go from here now? I mean, are these 3 still going to be stuck in a feud? Because to me, I'd like to see Braun Breaker do something else. I'd like to see him spin off and have another
feud with somebody else of different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they dropped the ball last night. I think instead of Drew McIntyre attacking Zayn, I would have loved to see Drew McIntyre attack Braun Breaker. I would love to see that feud.
Oh, that would be a hell of a feud.
Because Absolutely. They're using Breaker as kind of a tweener.
Yeah.
That, and then they've come out and said that. Then as we saw, we'll get into talking about Gunther. Are we seeing a babyface Gunther come around here too?
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. You know, which, I mean, let's also throw this out there that in 2 weeks we have Saturday night's main event, which may have impacted some of these decisions made for the PLE because, hey, we got to stretch things over. I mean, they already have only one match, as far as I know, Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens, correct? Is that the only match that's been signed so far?
They showed a couple, though, last night. I think on the that they might have announced during Raw, but go ahead, I'll look it right up.
You know what? While you take care of that, I'll take care of some business, Joey, because I need at this time to thank, of course, World's Greatest Comics.
Woohoo!
That's right, Rand. You should woohoo because they are a great comic book store. They've got everything that you need for your fandom. They've got, of course, single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got a great pool system, a friendly staff, a clean store. You name it, they got it.
Where are they?
They are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio.
Anywhere else I can find them?
Anywhere else you can find them. In case you don't want to leave the Golden Ghetto brand, of course, you can check them out online. Their website is WGComics.com. And you can find them on Facebook, of which they are pretty darn active on. Just look for at WG Comics. And again, I'd like to say thanks again to everybody down there at World's Greatest for being a great sponsor.
So they're a triple threat as well.
They are a triple threat as well. That's right. Absolutely, Ran.
Like us.
Like us, yeah, absolutely.
Like Byron Mullins.
So, Joey, what are the other matches for S?
Gunther and Finn.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Liv and Io.
Oh, okay. All right. Starting to be coming together pretty well. Now, can I ask a question? I love the trailer that they put out with the music and the old school clips. But why is it not at 11:30 at night like it was back in the day?
What channel is it on?
It's on NBC.
So they have Obsession back as the song again, too. That was awesome.
That was awesome. But why is it at 8? I know, because it's prime time. I know that, people. You don't have to. You probably were yelling at me while you're listening to this. But, I mean, how cool would it be to just go back to being at 11:30? Because I remember as a kid, like, that was a big deal. My mom and dad would let me stay up to watch it. That was a big deal because my bedtime was like 9.
And it actually booked backwards. The important matches were early.
Yeah.
Because kids and not everybody else stays up till 1 o'clock.
Right. That 12:30, you got that Jimmy Jack Funk versus Coco Beware barn burner. I don't even know if that was a match. I just picked two random people, threw them together.
Why not?
All right, Joey, you talked about Gunther. Let's move on to the next matchup, which is Gunther taking on Damian Priest.
What's crazy to me, and some people, I've heard some people who use the word, it was boring to them, but you have two big dudes doing a classic wrestling match. That's what I liked. It was different than anything else going on the show, but yet it was hard-hitting on some stuff. Gunther, you know, Gunther will do Gunther stuff, but that's what you get with him. He's a wrestler that has a mean slap and chop.
He's the ring general.
Ring general. That was kind of walking in there.
Christopher Walken hasn't stopped by in a while. Chris, how's it going?
Hey, you know, Gunther is kind of big, and he's a ring general. He's a big man with reverse chops. Right in the chest. It hurts. It hurts bad.
Anyway. I like the fact that there was ring psychology. You actually had an injured arm, and they carried it through. There was continuity to that. Yeah. A lot of times, a guy will just shake his arm, and he'll magically be wonderful again.
AEW.
Yeah.
Look, I wrote it down, too. I like the fact that it was... I wrote this down. I don't really mean it this way, but it was submission-based, that we got more than just the hard chops, more than just the big power moves, not the flying shoulder block from Damian Priest. We got that, and we got, like, really good submission wrestling. That was really well done. You know, I really had not much to gripe about, except for the ending. Wasn't a big fan of Finn getting involved. I'm not really sold on this Finn versus Gunther match, whether it's, you know, at Saturday Night's Main Event or whenever they have a match, and maybe on Raw or whatnot. So I gave it 3.5 body slams.
My field agents who were in Vancouver told me ahead of time that the usher was keeping the aisle in front of them clear and that I should expect a run-in.
Okay.
We didn't know who for or who it would be, but we knew that there would be a run-in. So thanks to my field agents, the Tuckers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Folks, that's legit. That's not a shtick. That is a legitimate story from Rand. It's not a work.
I have field agents who attend many shows.
So it's kind of looked at who the producer list from the matches. And it's pretty neat to go through and take a look, see who produced what. Christopher Park and Nick Aldis did the three-way match.
Mm-hmm.
So... Okay, Abyss, but this one makes a lot of sense because If you've seen a lot of Scrap Iron's old matches, Adam Pearce was the producer for this match.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I think you could see a lot of that and how it was. And it's a perfect mix because I think both of those guys obviously were able to adapt. And I think that helped add to the beauty of the 20-minute match that they had was him being able to help produce that.
What was the time? Is legit the time 20 minutes on that match?
That's what it says, yeah.
That's what it says? Didn't seem like 20 minutes.
No.
So,
and that's what makes these matches, whatever these lengths of these matches were, you weren't worried about it. Where before, we've sat here at this table and talked about matches like it drug on, and it might have only been 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Or 15, right?
Right.
So, it kept you involved and kept you wanting to watch it.
Mm-hmm. So how many body slams did you say?
I'm a hard four.
Four, okay.
Right. 3 3/4.
3 3/4, all right. All right, we're going to the main event, the men's War Games. Now, was it me or did it seem that Michael Cole and Corey Graves kept messing things up about 3 minutes for entries, 5 minutes for entries, 3 minutes for entries? Like, was that just me?
I wasn't really paying attention to the commentary, but it seemed like it was every 3 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't understand all that. I wasn't sure about that, but I did also sarcastically write down that this match is brought to you by the colors red and black.
Correct.
No one else had anything else to wear.
NWO Wolfpack.
Okay, I think Heyman's spot took way too long. All right. I feel like that drug on, and then when all the participants gathered their teammates and stood up and faced, I hate that. You just beat the shit out of each other for like 20 minutes and now you're going to stand up there and then I don't dig that. So to me, that was some of the negatives to my critique. But my critique, though, still a solid 3 body slams. I mean, it was a pretty good match for what it was.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. I enjoyed a little bit of drama, what's going on with Punk and Roman. You know, Punk bumps him to go out to the ring. One of the things that I've noticed, if you go back and look what Punk was doing in AEW and what he's doing now, he looks happy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense.
He's like, not going through the motions.
He looks happy to be there. He looks happy to be a part of the team. You know, I'm sure it helps that Vince isn't there and he's more comfortable with Triple H and with everything going on and everybody there. But, you know, he'll give respect and he's respected right now.
Maybe he feels his input is actually listened to.
Yeah, as it wasn't in the other place.
And it was clearly listened to because he's very old school when it comes down to Punk with a lot of stuff. And there was a lot of old school spots. I loved his spot with Jacob Fatu, where he does the old bulldog and then Fatu pops back up. Jacob Fatu is going to be the biggest face in the WWE in 2 years. He's going to be the biggest baby face. Mark that down.
If he can stay healthy, because again, it looked like he hurt himself again. And this is.
But he's great on selling that. We thought he was hurt at SummerSlam.
That's right. Fine. I was just going to say.
Now Bronson Reed, he shattered his ankle. On that spot.
Oh, was that the injury? Because I had read he had gotten injured, but I didn't read any details.
He jacked up his ankle really bad on that tsunami.
In some ways, Bronson Reed doesn't fit in when he speaks because you know he's not from the islands.
He's part Samoan, though.
In some ways, he doesn't fit in. In other ways, he looks exactly
like
he
needs to be part of that faction somehow. He needs to be part of that storyline going forward, I think.
I mean, he kind of looks like Big Van Vader.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Of course. I've said that he's the modern version of Bam Bam Bigelow. Absolutely.
I think he could be a big deal.
I would love to see him and Jacob Fatu be a tag team.
Does Bronson Reed need to lose some of that softness?
I don't think so.
I mean, softness as in body size.
No. Different. Look, we're in an era with different body types. I would say it's not the 80s where you had to have the chiseled looks or the beer gut.
But look how much Walter improved to become Gunther.
Look how much Jacob Fatu. I know you're not familiar with Jacob Fatu before WWE, but remember,
yeah,
he was
MLW. He was chubby.
Chubby. He was not in the best shape. He was a big smoking Newports. It was all part of the gimmick, actually. And he turned himself around to do what he's doing right now.
And it's paid off.
It's really paid off. I think maybe Bronson Reed could, but I think Bronson Reed has been doing it at this size for a while, and he's good with it.
Yeah, I think there's no reason for him to change anything.
Does he need to develop more character?
Yes.
Personality.
Yes.
But, and I think that's where being part of a faction or being part of a tag team where that'll help.
And I was going to say, being in the environment he is in, he can get some help to develop that. You know, we talked about the producers and backstage. There's got to be somebody back there. I mean, there is.
He was working Seth, and he was good. Did that thing with Strowman, so he's getting a push.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that he's injured, but I think we're going to see big things from him when he's healthy again in 2025.
Mm-hmm. So, how many body slams did you give the men's?
I went with four because okay. I was glued. I was glued the whole time. I was glued to where the people were getting beat down, and there's kind of that still the lull.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the characters. The new Bloodline is their characters. That's strictly what they're not Bacchaloa, not Tonga, but Tama. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's nuts and it fits. The Gorillas of Destiny, what they're doing now is different than what they were doing over in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like them. They're enjoyable. They're characters, and they have the one thing I was never able to, the pill I couldn't swallow was Solo Sikoa calling himself the tribal chief because he's 5'11". Like, he's not the big Samoan guy, right? But
he's made it work.
Yes.
With his promos. And those have gotten better.
He's gotten way better at that. And just the characters he has surrounding him have it made it enjoyable.
At the end of the original Bloodline,
mm-hmm.
he was losing every match. And to see him going from the bottom, breaking out and becoming a leader mm-hmm. is impressive.
It is. And look, I'm also going to throw it out here and defend Tongaloa. I mean, I know he gets some hate for botching some moves and whatnot. But look, you watch Gorillas of Destiny in New Japan. He didn't botch many things. So you got to cut the dude some slack. You know, I don't know what
they call him that because he's had a couple things happen. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, stay off the dude's case, man. There's other people that have botched more things and you give them a pass.
In addition to the conflict between the two teams, we saw conflict the whole time between Roman Reigns and CM Punk.
Yeah.
So we don't know where that's going to go either.
Until they saved each other, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Well, let's talk about it. There has been reports that there's a possibility, since we talked about Braun Breaker, Punk, and Roman being in a little feud, if you will. I got to be honest with you. I think that would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, personally. I'm not for that.
I'm not for that at all. If you're going to let Punk work with Braun on his own or Roman and Punk.
He's going to work with Seth.
I know.
It's clearly, if it's not now, it's Mania. Right. Him and Seth have a date for Destiny, a date that's going to happen.
Right, which I read that Monday morning, and then we saw Monday night exactly what happened, is that we have Seth coming out and cutting a promo with CM Punk, who was also started off the show with a promo. So I think that's going to be a hell of a feud. And I like that. I like the fact that they didn't go with the obvious that Drew McIntyre attacks Punk and did something different with Sami Zayn. I thought that was good.
And I like the fact that they're going to be able to carry this feud on for months with two faces.
But does one become a heel, though?
That's the thing. I would think the obvious one would be Seth, because yes. Seth's the better heel.
Yes, he is.
And they need some heels like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's my gripe. The off-air, I had said I was saving for the pod. From last night's Monday Night Raw. What was your thoughts on the 10-year celebration of the New Day?
I think that they should have done this 6 months ago. That was my big thing. Like, okay, that's it. I like the idea. I think it's cool for a heel turn for a couple guys. But I think if you're going to do that, why are you waiting to just now to do it?
Thank you. That was my big thing. Like, I was like, okay.
Because what I was really wanting to see, to be honest with you, is if they were going to continue the friction between the two.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Kofi go heel. I think that'd have been really cool because we're all expecting
Xavier.
So, but this was a swerve, but it was a swerve that was too late.
I agree with you. This should have, in fact, they should have wasted Xavier with Karrion Kross's crew. They should not have bothered. Because to me, they never really finished that storyline. They just moved on to the Wyatt Six, and I don't, you know, again, what is their names again? I can't remember what the group's name is. That's why I keep calling it the Crosses Crew, but
the something of, I always forget.
I always
Scarlet
forget
Fever.
It's Scarlet Fever?
No.
Oh. I can't believe you wrote me into that. Damn, yeah, that was a softball right down the middle.
The Final
you.
Testament.
The Final Testament. Thank
you. Was Paul Ellering still around?
Yes, Paul Ellering still around. Okay. The AOP, Scarlet. But I really wanted to see Xavier Woods go with them. But then they just dropped that storyline and moved on. And so I agree with you, Joey. Like, this is too little, too late. I don't know if they're going to get the mileage out of this that they thought it would have. Great promo, by the way. Great right. that Big E came out. That was fantastic. But yeah, ultimately, like, who cares?
At this point, yeah, I think it would have had a lot more traction, like I said, six mm-hmm. to 8 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could they have waited for Big E medically?
I don't know. Is Big E ever coming back? I know they mentioned, you know, that was the final dig that Xavier Woods, but...
It doesn't sound like it. His neck is... The reason they haven't operated is because it's inoperable.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
did that happen here in Columbus?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Ridge Holland that
it was,
did it.
Yeah, Ridge Holland.
He took a massive drop on the maybe on the ring steps in front of me at one of the pay per views.
No, this wasn't because this was an overhead belly to belly. That
okay, this would have been like 3 years ago, and I thought he was dead.
Well,
he didn't move for like 2 minutes, and they were out there with the medical crew.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the new day. Like, who's going to be their first feud? That's a great question, because, again...
They're clearly heel.
Yeah, they're right. Clearly going to be the heels. But, I mean, who do you bring out there, you know, Otis and Nozawa?
It's Tozawa.
Tozawa. What did I say? Nozawa.
Nozawa. Like, no, I don't want you out here, Tozawa, so Nozawa for you.
Hey, wait a minute. You're just giving away free shit to the WWE. You know that, right?
I know.
Anyways... All right, well, gentlemen, any other notes that we wanted to talk about here real quick?
This was the 12-year anniversary of the Shield arriving.
Yeah, I think that was mentioned,
wow.
too.
Wow,
think
that's
about
crazy.
Where those guys have gone.
So would you consider Ambrose the Jannetty of the Shield? Seriously.
I mean, if he's the weak link, that's a pretty strong group.
That is. That is a pretty strong group. Yeah, it is we did have it's the 63rd sellout for the WWE.
Oh boy, how many sellouts has AEW had recently?
Not that many.
Not here in Columbus.
Not that's anywhere, true. I don't think. Probably
not in Lexington. That was a rather weak crowd that I went to.
Yeah, look, I don't know. We could spend another hour and a half discussing AEW and what they do wrong, and even some things that they do right. We'll give credit where credit is due. They are doing some things correctly. They're few and far between, but they're doing some things correctly. Anyways, Joey is rolling his eyes.
So, no, this is totally something different. When there was announced that the WWE was going to put Prime in the center of their ring,
mm-hmm.
and there was such an uproar about the advertising,
mm-hmm.
do you guys even notice it, really?
No, I don't. I didn't even notice that they had them in the four corners.
I saw the bottles in one corner, and I kept thinking... Somebody's going to use that as a weapon and smack somebody with something. It's almost as if they're told not to do that.
Yeah, I think it's off limits because I think that, like...
They don't want to be a cartoon. They don't want to be
I just remember the big uproar about their being in the center of the ring. Oh, that's not traditional WWE. Kind of like there's an uproar if Ohio State has logos on their jerseys. It's like, you don't even notice it now.
No.
And it was... And I remember when the... watching ESPN, wrestling on ESPN, and there was advertising there on the mat and it didn't cause any issues. Renegade, remember that?
Yep, Renegade Chewing Tobacco. Chewing Tobacco for Memphis, yeah.
But
I remember a lot of Budweiser labels on boxing matches.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
People were losing their mind. It was one of those things that they were, oh my gosh, they're selling out. And I think it was more of a hate for...
Logan Paul?
Than it was what was going on because it was Prime. I think it was something else.
When's he come back?
I sat there and I watched. I was like, I just started thinking about it. And I was like, I'm watching the match and I really it doesn't bother me, but I'll notice, kind of notice, but I don't really notice it.
Yeah, and there was, for whatever, I forget, a video game or something, it was in the four corners underneath the first turnbuckle. I don't remember what it was, but I don't know when Logan Paul is coming back. I suppose whenever he needs
Royal Rumble, I would guess.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say a high-profile return will probably be his, and, you know. All right, well, with that, let's go ahead and start wrapping things up, gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you on the internet?
You can find me on the Whatnot app under the name Remix Collectibles if you'd like to buy the finest in wrestling cards. We do wrestling card shows now every Monday night. We do Funko Pops. We do some more action figures and toy shows. We get closer to Christmas. And you can find us on Instagram under the same name, Remix Collectibles.
What time is that show on Monday night?
Every Monday night at 8.05 p.m. Eastern Time.
Unless the Atlanta Braves preempt things.
Right. Yeah. Or the dog show.
Rand, where can folks find you on the internet?
On that their Twitter thing, or X, at Rand Dittmar.
All right. There you go.
Big complaint about X. Now, sure. I've been known, not to get me wrong, I'm not a choir boy, to look at provocative stuff on X.
Okay.
But it's not like I'm like a hardcore, why isn't I look at two things and now that's all that's in my feed? It's insane. It's ever since Elon took over, it's like stepped up.
You know I love G.I. Joe toys, but like now my feed is pretty much nothing but G.I. Joe toys on X.
Because you look at something a couple times and it's like, and he's made such a big deal about profane stuff being on there, but yet now it's being force-fed. Or like you said, with G.I. Joe toys, or you look up a couple things and that's all you see.
It's worse than Facebook.
It's the Facebook?
The Facebook.
Yeah. It's annoying. Sorry.
Anyways, that's all right.
Joey Vents right there.
No big deal. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen.
Not Joey Votto.
Joey Vents.
Joey Vents.
Anyways, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze talking about Survivor Series. And real quickly, I just want to throw it out there. We're not changing the format. We are. Like, for an example, when it comes time in January for the Royal Rumble, we are going to go back to doing the preview episode and then the review episode. Like I said, unfortunately, due to my schedule and you know how many episodes I have in the can, so to speak, I just needed to cut some episodes and make some room. So I hope that didn't upset you. I hope that didn't disappoint you. And if it did, you can let me know and let me tell you how you can reach me. First of all, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for at PVDcast. And you can shoot me an email if you want. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about this show. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for listening to the PVDcast, including going to PVDcast.com, which is the online home of yours truly, where every single new episode drops on Thursday. You can also check out the show through any one of your favorite podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go into the search engine of your favorite outlet, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. Since we're talking about those podcast outlets, let them know that you're listening to the show. And how can you do that? First of all, you can easily just rate and review. Give me a great review. Give me a 5-star rating. That would be appreciative because that tells the outlets and the apps that you are listening to the PVDcast. And you know what? While you're at it, why don't you subscribe so that you never miss a single episode of the PVDcast. There's still one final way that you can catch every single episode, and that's through the Facebook page. Just go over there Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live broadcast for you. So there you go. There's three easy ways to hear this great podcast: through PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting app, or through the Facebook page Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for the live broadcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.